Welcome to the H2H Human Connection Done Right Summit, bringing together forward-thinking leaders who understand that true innovation happens when people, process, and technology work in harmony. Lean into this refreshing, energizing experience designed to inspire you with a new approach to a timeless principle. Our speakers will offer fresh insights that will challenge perspectives and spark new ideas.
Well, welcome everybody. My name is David Bush and I'm the owner of BDR.AI. And today I get a chance to talk to you about an extraordinary conversation, which is the six questions that create extraordinary conversations. So I have a couple of quick questions for you as you begin to settle into this concept about creating extraordinary questions is, first and foremost, do you know the definition of the word extraordinary? Now, I think that most of you probably know that it's extraordinary, right? It's just very simple that way. But the actual definition in Merriam-Webster's dictionary is there's two definitions. The first one is to go above and beyond what's usual, regular, and customary. The second definition is exceptional to a very marked extent. And I think that when people think about the word extraordinary, they're oftentimes thinking about this second definition. But it's the first definition that I really want to challenge you to embrace today. And that is to go above and beyond what's usual, regular, and customary. The things that I share with you today might be something that might challenge you a little bit. It may make you feel a little guilty. It may make you feel maybe a little embarrassed, or maybe it might just be something that's a great reminder and an awakening to you. But regardless of how you feel, my ultimate goal is to challenge you, to encourage you, to awaken you to the concept of asking better questions. When you're conversing with people that are meaningful to you, whether they're coworkers, whether they're prospective clients, current clients, team members, authority figures, being a person that asks extraordinary questions oftentimes becomes a person that becomes very interesting. They become somebody that people want to have more conversations with, and they attract more opportunities in the marketplace. Whether you're in a sales role or whether you're in an internal sales enablement or a corporate role and you're building relationships internally to climb the corporate ladder, or whether you're just building better relationships with your kids or with your neighbors and friends and family members, learning to ask better questions and listening to their answers so that you can ask better follow-up questions is a skill that will be something that will pay you huge dividends over your lifetime. So the first question I have for you is that if I was to interview, or if I was to take a video camera and I was to record you in the conversations that you've had in the last 30 days, and just consider all conversations, don't just think about conversations with clients or prospects or team members, just think about all conversations. If I was to go out there and watch a videotape or listen to a recording or read the transcripts of all those conversations, what percentage of those conversations would you be talking? And what percentage would be the other person in that one-on-one conversation and how much they would be talking? I think that many of us can fall prey to either not talking enough or talking too much. We oftentimes don't have a good, healthy balance. And through research, I found that 45% of your conversation should be you talking. If you always want to leave a person with an impression that says, man, that person was very interesting, that's somebody that I'd like to have another conversation with, it's to not necessarily be the most interesting person and to tell them how interesting you are and to tell them about all the interesting stuff that you're doing, the features, the benefits, and the stories that you've been experiencing, but it's to be more interested in the person that you're talking to. So that's the next question that I have. If I was to talk to your friends and family members, coworkers, employees, clients and prospects, and if I was to ask them, would you say that you, insert your name here, are interested in them, or are you more considering yourself interesting in what it is that you have to share or to sell? Would people think that you're interested in them? Because if you're going to make a human connection with another person, whether you're doing it through digital outreach, through email communication, or whether you're doing it through LinkedIn messaging and building rapport, or whether you're talking face-to-face with someone or over the phone, it's going to be you being interested in them versus you telling them all these interesting facts and figures and information about your features and benefits. And I think that that's something that was a big awakening for me. You know, I'm a little bit past halfway through life. And these lessons have taught me really great principles to apply in all things in my life. And I've learned to become a better listener. And let me just admit right now in front of all of you that I'm a recovering know-it-all. I've spent a lot of time studying principles and processes to become somebody that's very self-aware, somebody that knows a lot about or a little about a lot of things. And so I can oftentimes bring in information about things, and I can give more information than I can ask questions. And so it's been a learning curve for me. And I hope that maybe you're in that same position where you're open to change, you're open to thinking about how you can ask questions skillfully and listen carefully. If you're taking notes, jot that down, because that's a jotter downer. It's something I learned from Brian Tracy. And if you're not taking notes, write this down. Write down, ask questions skillfully and listen carefully. The better you ask questions in a more skillful way, being open-ended questions versus closed-ended questions that prompt a deeper conversation or a deeper answer to the question that you're answering or you're asking, is going to lead you to extraordinary conversations. You're going to find and discover things about people that are going to help you to build more rapport. You're going to build a better human connection. You're going to have a conversation that's worth remembering. As I've learned to improve upon the skills of asking better questions and listening to their answers, listening carefully to their answers, I found that people will oftentimes bring back a memory of a conversation that we had that I asked them a question. And it may have just been over a Zoom meeting. It may have been, I had one conversation with a gal that just recently brought this up to me, and it was 5 years later. I didn't realize that I had had this conversation with her. I remembered her and I remember being with her, but I didn't remember the conversation. But it was me asking questions skillfully and listening carefully. She made mention and said that those questions that you asked me changed my life. And talk about having an extraordinary conversation. I didn't remember having it because I had just learned the skill to ask questions. And then it impacted her in such a way where she became more interested in what it is that I did and how I could potentially help her. And so I'm going to just tell you that if you make a little bit of progress and you go above and beyond what's usual, regular, and customary, you will start to make more impact. And as you make more impact, you will grow your opportunities for income. And as your impact and your income grow, so will your influence. And so if you'd like to grow all three of those things, or any one of those three, or a combination of the three, I want to share some strategies with you that can help you with this. So think about the idea about playing catch. Think about if my son is a quarterback. He's a football player. I grew up playing sports, and he's a left-handed quarterback that throws the ball really hard. He used to play baseball, and it honestly got to the point where it was painful to play catch because he could throw the ball so hard. And I can't throw the ball as far as him in football, but we like to play catch, and he likes to, you know, use me as a receiver to go catch balls. And as if you can imagine, I was an offensive lineman in football, not a great receiver to play that role, but I play that role because I'm his father, and I just love to see him pursuing his dream. But think about the idea if you were playing catch and if all you did was throw the ball to the other person and they never threw the ball back. You probably wouldn't call it catch. You'd probably call it target practice, right? So think about some of the conversations that you have had with your children, if you have any, or if you have a spouse. Think about the conversations that you have there. What about your coworkers? Are most of your conversations more you telling them, or is it more of you asking them something that elicits or an open-ended response that helps you to get to know them better, helps you to develop more rapport, helps you to maybe discover something that they're struggling with, or to help them to discover something that maybe they're good at or that they're interested in? What are the things that you're doing to increase the opportunity to play catch versus just throwing the ball back and forth, throwing the ball at them again and again and again? And if you're not asking for an opportunity to have them respond, it's probably not going to be very fun for them. And it's probably not going to be a very memorable experience. And if you think about, you know, when you're playing catch with a smaller child, if you've ever done something like this, it's you help them. And I'm finding out, you know, at middle age, there's a lot of people that are older than me or the same age as me that still don't know how to have a really good conversation. They don't know how to ask questions, and they miss out on the impact and the income and the influence because they just never learned this skill. And so let me just jump right in and start talking to you a little bit about how to ask those extraordinary or how to ask the questions that lead to extraordinary conversations. And many of you, this might just be a reminder more than it is going to be taught something new, because I think that most of you know the six questions that I'm going to give to you. And they're the six questions that taught us all we knew. What, why, when, where, how, and who? And I'm curious to know how many of those six questions that you use inside of your day or inside of your email communication. Are you asking open-ended questions using those six phrases as the starting point? And if you're not, let's see if we can end up improving that as we go into the next week. So let's talk a little bit about some of the statistics. So Gong did a study on sales professionals, and it was a while back, but it's still appropriate for all of us. And I think that this will be appreciative even if you're not in sales. But the average salesperson asks about 6 to 12 conversation or questions per conversation. Top performing salespeople, they said, ask 11 to 14 questions per conversation. And it's a balance of open-ended and follow-up questions. So if you're in the world of sales or you're trying to build relationships, which I think everybody is in sales, even if you're not selling a product or a service, you're oftentimes selling yourself if you want a new opportunity or you want to advance in your career. So everybody is in sales at some level in my mind. But how many questions are you asking to gain clarity and communication from the other person that you're communicating with? How often are you building rapport with the people that are the most meaningful to you? Because I think that you can go right back to the top performing salespeople and say, the more questions that they ask, the better they are understanding who that person is. I love the quote from Stephen Covey, and many of you have heard it before, but the comment is, seek to understand before being understood. And I have found even in, you know, arguments or in disagreements or things where, you know, maybe there's something where it's a little bit of a heated conversation, I can have an extraordinary conversation with somebody that has a completely different perspective than I do if I'm open to asking questions and learning about their perspective. I love the phrase, and if you have a pen and paper in front of you, you can write this down. This is another jotter downer, and I'll give it to you twice. I'm going to give you the phrase twice, and I just want you to write it down. If you're driving, pull over, but if you're not driving, write this down. So the phrase is, and I'll give it to you letter by letter, it's OPPORTUNITYISNO WHERE. So it's OPPORTUNITYISNO WHERE. And if you look at that phrase and you read it out loud, you'll come up with what it actually says. It's a phrase that's kind of crunched together with letters. And what most people will read, and if you can read it, you can put it in the chat if you're live, but what most people will see when they read that is opportunity is nowhere. The way I phonetically spelled the letters, or I gave you the letters for the phrase, people oftentimes will put those in an association, and you know, we see the world as we are. We don't see the world as it is factually. We have our own stories and our own belief systems and thoughts that come into that. And we oftentimes need to have perspective from another person that actually can show us that opportunity is now here. Same letters, same sequence, completely different perspective. And I love the phrase, I think that it was Mark Twain, it might have been somebody else, but he gets the credit for saying it. And he has this phrase that says, it's not what we know that gets us into trouble. It's all the things that we know for absolute certain that just aren't so. And I think that many of us have come to believe in things that are not actually truth or based on facts. It's not based on science. And even if it is based on science, is that it may not be the truth about the facts. The facts could be simply that it's a lie. That's actually the word right in the middle of the word beliefs. It's actually a lie. And so as you begin to start asking more questions and you have that growth mindset that Carol Dweck talks about in her book, Mindset, where you're actually open and curious to learning more and uncovering what it is that you know for absolute certain that just isn't so, you might find out that you're more agreeable, you're more enjoyable as a person because you're not a professional know-it-all. You're actually somebody that actually likes to have conversations and debate and to have actual conversations about things that you don't necessarily have all of the facts on. Many of us have a lot of facts that we have created in our own mind, but we don't have the actual facts. So let me give you a couple of different strategies that you can use. And before I get to that, let me go through a couple of pitfalls. So, you know, asking too few questions, that leads you to a weak understanding of an individual. So if you don't ask enough questions, you probably are going to be assuming things. And you know what happens when we assume, we make an ass out of you and me. So we don't want to assume too much. So it's better for us to ask more questions. Now, asking too many rapid fire questions can make you feel like it's an interrogation. So you got to go easy on the person because some people, they're really good at asking questions, but they'll dominate the conversation and they'll make it like a frontal lobotomy trying to get all of the information at one particular time. So this idea of asking questions is somewhat of a balance. It's a dance. It's part art and it's part science. And so you got to make sure that you're asking good questions and meeting the person where they're at based on the relationship. So you wouldn't ask somebody that you hardly know, hey, what's your biggest struggle? What's the biggest barrier you're facing? I mean, you could ask them that, but it's not going to probably lead you to an extraordinary conversation because most people aren't going to be as trusting to give you all that information at one time. So how do you start that process? Well, you meet them where they're at and you start a conversation with making an observation. And I'm going to go through a process with you right now that's going to help you to remember some questions that you can answer or you can ask. And then I'm going to give you some questions that you can use as kind of a guideline. And if anybody wants this information, feel free to reach out and reach out to me on LinkedIn and I can give you that full list. But anyway, the starting point is I want you to think about an old Ford pickup truck. If you know what a Ford is, if you don't know, just think about a pickup truck and just put the name of Ford or the brand name of Ford on it. And then I want you to think about it being kind of rusty and that the salt from the roads and all the things have kind of created a bit of a rust environment where this old Ford is a little salty. So I want you to think about a salty Ford. And maybe you've heard this acronym before, but if you write out the acronym SALTY Ford, here's what it stands for. So if you want to have an extraordinary conversation, the first thing that you can do is start a conversation by making an observation. And that can be something as simple as, boy, sure is nice here, isn't it? Could be something as simple as, man, the weather's fantastic, isn't it? Making a small observation or starting with a rapport builder is a very easy way to get things going. If you're trying to reach out on LinkedIn, you're trying to create connections on LinkedIn, you may want to start out with an observation from their profile. You may want to make an observation about their achievements, their skills, where they're currently working, their position title, their picture, anything that would be something that would be of a complimentary edification manner would be a great way to start a conversation. And I like to use, you know, the things like, you know, where are you from? Yeah, family in the area. Hey, I see you're a mutual connection of, you know, mutual friends. And I start to try to create rapport with a simple observation, edification, or a compliment. The second letter is ask. Ask questions skillfully. Think about some of those questions that we just talked about. The what, why, when, where, how, and who. What question is the question that's the most appropriate for that conversation? And it's good to have a good place to start. I like to use the FORD acronym. So, family, friends, where you're from. That's a good place to kind of begin the conversation. And then I move to the O in FORD, which is the occupation, trying to find out a little bit about their background, their history, what connected them, why'd they choose to get into what they got into. And I get them talking about something that's meaningful to them. If they hate their career, I ask them a little bit more about that. And then you can move from family, friends, where you're from, to occupation, to recreation. You know, what do you like to do for fun? What keeps you busy when things aren't busy at work? What are some of the things you like to do for hobbies? You know, people oftentimes have very interesting hobbies and they like to talk about them. And if you can make a mutual connection and make a bond there, you're probably going to be more open to, or they're going to be more open to asking a question about you and about who you are and what's interesting to you. And then the T, so we got start a conversation, ask questions, and the questions can be, family, friends, where you're from, occupation, recreation, what do you like to do for fun? What hobbies do you have? What dreams do you have? What goals do you have? What are some of the things that you're working on? What projects are you working on? That's the D in the dreams. And if you can use that FORD acronym as a guide, it's a great place to keep you in a conversation that's constantly got one more thing that you can be asking that doesn't take a lot of thought, and you can be listening to their answers. And every time you get an answer, you can say, tell me more about that. Why did you choose to do that? Where did you get your start? Where did you find your passion for that? And by having those simple follow-up questions, you can become more interested in them and they'll think that you're more interesting. So, Salty Ford, start a conversation, ask questions, listen carefully, or read carefully if you're using digital outreach and digital communication. So make sure you're reading their responses and asking follow-up questions. And then as you follow that process, you'll get a chance to get to the T in Salty, and that is to tell them a story. Tell them about something that you're interested in. Tell them something about a client that you've recently helped. Tell them about something that you're trying to accomplish. And the why in Salty is really getting back to why you want to do what you want to do, or what's unique about you to make you more memorable. And if you open up the conversation with the SALTY acronym and you use the FORD acronym as a basis for asking those questions, you can find more extraordinary conversations. So as I wrap up here today, I hope that you're getting some takeaways, some aha moments, some jotter downers to kind of keep you moving through things. And maybe it's just the opportunity is now here is something that you're really kind of catching. But as I wrap up, I want you to think about a really good structured conversation usually has a couple of rapport building questions. Two or three is a good start, you know, like an icebreaker question that's not too deep. And then a couple of discovery questions. Finding out what's an interest of theirs, what's a pain point, what's a goal, decision-making decision dates or upcoming projects that they're working on. And then asking a couple follow-up questions and addressing some challenges or concerns or issues or things that might be something that you could end up helping them with. And if you can uncover some problems and pain points or challenges, you have a better chance of delivering a solution. And then the final couple of questions is giving that next step or that pathway forward. So if you're building a conversation that's creating an extraordinary connection, moving it to the next step and having an opportunity to follow through and follow up so that you are moving a person from wherever they are to wherever you would like them to be if they're a good profile candidate. And so if you're using this structure of Salty Ford, if you go back and think about that truck and you think about the visual of playing catch and asking questions skillfully and listening carefully, you're going to lead to some extraordinary conversations. And just remember, what, why, when, where, how, and who will not treat you wrong. And they'll tell you everything that you want to do if you'll just have the courage to ask them. So I'm David Bush from BDR.ai. I hope that this session was helpful to you. And I look forward to everybody's feedback.
Thank you for joining us in today's forward-thinking session of Human Connection Done Right. As we transition to our next expert speaker, remember that together we are redefining the future. To stay engaged and informed, visit revenue-bydesign.com, where together we will be deliberate, be intentional, and be successful.